Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com. It's better
over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. It is Wednesday. This is the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are live here in the Kia Studios. Mike, Bo, and Tiff hanging out with you on a Falcons Wednesday and also post Game one of the wild card series for the Braves. We will have a lot to get to. I heard you guys talking, unfortunately, about your racing league. So please.
Unfortunately.
Let everybody know how
what does
it
that
went.
Mean?
I'm so excited to hear about it. I'm just kidding.
Well, the excitement is oozing from your voice,
yes.
as I'm sure everyone can feel. me and Mike actually race very well together after what, lap six, seven? After
it. Yeah.
We had two incidents in the first 10 laps.
Incidences as in you were wrecked?
As in we needed tow trucks.
Or you caused the wreck?
I can't throw all the blame over to the left of me, which is where Mike sits, because I did get a little bit of get back, but incidentally, there's a thing called side draft at Talladega, and it will... It's where you get next to another car and you take the air off, which is essentially taking the energy from that car.
Just so you guys know, we're talking about assimilation.
I actually have a quick question.
Yes, assimilation, because it means it's virile. Yes.
Do y'all have, like in NASCAR, there are obviously partners. Do y'all have partners in the racing league or no? It's just kind of...
Last night we did, because it was me and Bo, because we wrecked twice. And we were like, well, there ain't nobody else going to help us out. Might as well be us.
Yeah, so you joined
y'all
forces.
Made your own partners.
We joined forces.
Okay.
Yeah, we did.
I had to drop back and rescue Bo from the oblivion outside of the draft. And we made our way back
through
there.
But when you
guys
get points, not that I care, but when you guys get points, I do have questions. Do you accumulate them together then?
No.
So you just chose to join forces because you guys were both losing.
Because that was the best thing for both of us. That's what it was. So
okay.
What had happened?
It was a lot of
fun
last night.
We made an adult decision to
unite.
Look. We've gotten tangled twice. No matter whose fault it is, we're both in a hole. Let's help our way out of the hole. And that was something we tried to do, and it worked.
So who sacrificed for? Like the other one.
Well,
who ended up.
Honestly, did you?
Well, I wasn't a lap down.
He sacrificed himself for you.
I was already a lap down.
Right.
And Mike didn't want me to go another lap down, so he sacrificed. But I do believe, and we'll put a bow on this.
Okay.
I do believe at the end, I was there trying to help you.
That's true.
And so that was the deal. And
teamwork makes the dream work, Tiff.
So
it is.
So hopefully. If our Braves, if anyone in the Braves organization is listening, they can hear how, hey, we were in a hole like they are now.
I had four screens going, Tiff. I had the simulator, and then I had the Braves game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I had it working.
It's a lot happening.
Tiff, how was your action-packed Wednesday night?
Try to get life
Tuesday
together.
Yeah. Well, that's status quo.
But I tapped out.
Status quo.
I tapped out. Try to get it together and tapped out. I said,
what does that mean? What does tapped out mean? What is exactly?
Tell me
the actual activities.
I quit. The activities were, I ran through the checklist of things. I had a couple player calls. I got Navy, Army this weekend. So had some Navy guys call me yesterday and went over my notes. And they were separated throughout the day. So it wasn't like a back-to-back thing. Thought about unpacking my suitcase from 5 days in Vegas. Didn't happen. It's just sitting by the front door. So there are a lot of things that probably could have happened yesterday to try to further get me ahead of the week.
Random question.
My week is
opted out.
I tapped out.
Random question.
Yes.
I keep a toiletry bag in my Louis. But when I get home, even if I don't have to pack it, I have to take it into somewhat of a semblance into the house to grab that out. So I have, you know, the essentials.
Yes.
You just like, because you travel so much, you just try. And I've tried to do this, but it doesn't work because I don't replenish. But do you have duplicates of things so you keep it always in the travel bag?
Yes. And I have travel bottles that I like to use. Just ordered a new set. So I keep those in the toiletry bag. And
then
hopefully don't have to, like, you know, refill. So I never forget face products and stuff, but.
Did you hear the joy in her voice when she said she ordered a new set of travel bottles?
Yeah. I get very excited about travel stuff. I got new travel luggage.
There you go.
By sliding into DMs.
Did your sister get some?
No, we've made amends.
Oh, okay. I think I remember
suitcase
that
gate is over, right? She hasn't received it yet, so jury's still out.
And I asked that because you said your suitcase is still by the bag. I've tried to do that. I only need a couple of
duplicates. Well, the toiletry bag is out.
Yeah. Okay.
Toiletry bag is out.
I only need a couple of duplicates, like deodorant and shaving cream. That's it. And I don't even really shave that much, obviously, as you can tell.
Very simple for you guys. It's very simple for you guys.
Yeah. Have you ever, don't simplify my life. You know nothing about my skincare routine.
Really?
You know nothing about this skincare routine, Tim.
I just use, you know, whatever's in the room, though, shampoo and stuff.
Have you ever done the thing, the travel hack, quote unquote, where you get the hotel to do your laundry before you leave?
No, because I'm not gone long enough, usually.
Yeah.
For the Olympics, yes.
Yeah.
But
that would make sense. I was just thinking, because you said you had to take the red eye from Vegas, and I thought that would have been a prime time to, like, on Sunday, get the hotel to do your laundry so that you don't have to do it when you get home.
That is true. Yeah. But I have a collection, as you guys probably know, in the morning of athleisure wear. So that's all I wear. So I think a majority of my stuff besides game outfit was pretty much athleisure wear.
You can
roll in looking like the athletes when you go to these production meetings. You don't have to get all fancy.
You know, they have the laundry companies now around town that will just pick your stuff up on the front porch and go do it and fold it and bring it back to you. And I'm like, dude, I'm really this close to doing it.
Yeah. Well, you guys probably have a lot of clothes at your house. So
yeah, I was going to be selfish and just do mine and just order mine. But I thought my wife would kill me.
You probably would not be here with
us. And it goes by like the pound. You know, they're like, they weigh your laundry, and mine's really heavy. Mine's like, you know what I mean? Like one pair of jeans is like 10 pounds.
Because you're tall.
Everything's 3Xs and like one pair of jeans like 10 pounds. But man, that's really expensive.
It adds up. Just don't get your own laundry done and not Lindsay's, or else you'll be calling this number this hour, brought to you by Morgan & Morgan Injured. Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Well, speaking of injuries or maybe being bruised and beat up, the Braves drop Game 1 of the wild card series to the Padres 4-0, and AJ Smith-Shawver struggled pretty early in this one.
I don't know if you guys saw the look on his face when he was being pulled, and I guess what was it, the second inning? He felt bad for the kid, right? He's put in an impossible situation against a really good team, really good offense. As soon as Arias got that first hit, I was like, dude, he squared that ball up pretty good, and then you see the Tatis ball fly, and you're like, this is worst case scenario in terms of what you're getting here. And the atmosphere was great. You take your cap off. There's a lot of takeaways from the game yesterday, but you never want to see AJ Smith-Shawver put in a situation where it almost looks like he's about to cry as he's getting pulled. Man, he was just like, you could just see the look on his face. I wanted to do better for this squad, and he wasn't able to step up given the situation. Man, just don't see that.
Yeah, My thoughts on how that could go was pretty off. You know, I thought maybe it would be a situation where it wouldn't be too big for him because he just wouldn't understand. You know, you're like, I think it's harder and harder to think that in today's world with social media and, you know, these kids grew up being able to watch every baseball game, every playoff game. It's just completely different. It was a great atmosphere, but I mean, you know, give them credit. They jumped on him early. They didn't give him a chance to settle in. They didn't give him a chance to kind of, you know, He threw some balls early, and then he had to work his way back. And you said Arise got that hit, and then Tatis just was waiting. He was in the weeds waiting. He jumped on him quickly, and a 2-0 lead last night might have been 12-0, 10-0, 8-0. It was massive. I did not appreciate the strike zone.
I was going to ask because the Braves did not do well when it came the strikes, and Michael King pretty much lit things up.
Yeah, and it started early. Michael Harris, look, we had a chance to get right back in it because Michael Harris leads off. You know, A.J. Spinoshalver, credit, he limited damage, but Michael Harris gets a hit right off the, I think, first pitch, and then Ozzie looked kind of silly swinging at a sweeper. He struck out on the same sweeper twice out of the zone.
Nasty.
Yeah,
nasty.
It was nasty. But then Ozuna, I felt like, got a raw deal with some of the calls against him. A couple of those, even a third strike, was low, and it was a framed, and you can't complain always because, look, they didn't do enough. But Olsen came up to the plate with a chance to do something multiple times. So Lehrer came up to the plate with a chance to do something, and they didn't do anything. And it was much like a lot of games we've seen this team play all season.
I think, too, one of the biggest stat categories that you'll take away from yesterday. First of all, and I'm going to make this really quick, but you got to give a hat tip to the bullpen of the Braves. A.J. Smith-Shawver had his struggles, and then the Braves really kind of went on cruise control as far as the pitching goes, and some of the guys that came in, and Aaron Bummer and Jesse Chavez and some of the other names. The left on base, the Braves have 11 runners left on base last night, and really that's kind of the story of what this offense has been, Tiff. It's unfortunate. There's been a lack of timely hitting. And even when you out-hit the Padres, they got more timely hitting than you, and they move runners across home plate.
Good news is it is a best-of-three series. So game two is going down tonight. And I would ask you guys if you think this team can bounce back.
I think they can push it to a game three.
Well,
I will say this. There was a stat that flashed across the TV last night. I don't know if you saw, Bo. And I don't even remember if it was in the Braves game. It might have been the earlier game where it said the teams that won game one won the series in these three-game series 88% of the time.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's...
Yeah, that's going to be an unfortunate stat.
I mean, that kind of makes sense considering, it's a three-game series. And, and all of the, all of these games are also in one place. So there's a complete home field advantage if you can jump out to a start. But look, we have, to me, one of the best left-handed pitchers in the league going tonight, coming off a phenomenal start against a team that won yesterday in the Royals, where Freed completely shut them down, and all they did was go out and shut down a pretty deep Oriole offense yesterday as the Royals beat them 1-0. But they got Joe Musgrave for the Padres, and in eight games against the Braves, he's got a 4.29 lifetime ERA, and he's given up seven home runs, so we got to get after him early. And he doesn't have Josh Donaldson to throw at tonight, so.
So maybe Atlanta picks up a W tonight. Maybe the city gets one tomorrow. Thursday Night Football, Bucks and Falcons. What's in store? Well, we'll break down this one for you next on The Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thursday Night Football is almost upon us. You got the Falcons and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Prime Video. And I think a big problem that the Falcons are need to solve in this one is how do you get a handle on Baker Mayfield. Over his last 12 games, he's got a 9-3 record. But also, he has the most touchdown passes in the NFL over this span, which is his career has been revived in Tampa. That's 25 touchdown passes, by the way, and just 7 interceptions over that span.
Yeah. He's been pretty good. And, I think it's one of the things, and I think it's, we talked about this yesterday a little bit. Liam Cohen, the OC, has been so good at kind of making Baker Mayfield comfortable, I think is the best term to put that. He's really, me and Bo watching earlier, we noticed a couple times, Baker Mayfield, it's like he's playing shortstop. He's like dealing cards back there a little bit, right? I mean, he's taking the snap. He's getting the ball out of his hands. Very, very rarely did he sit in the pocket. As a matter of fact, I think one of the sacks we noticed earlier was just a great defensive call. And you had Brandon Graham and that defensive line from Philly just stunt right into a boot, and they get Baker Mayfield on the ground. So I think they've just done a good job making Baker comfortable. He's done a great job, and I don't even know what this year is for him. Is it year five of just reading defenses? No.
In Tampa?
No. I'm just meaning in his career.
No, it's longer than that. This is like at least year six or seven for him because
it's not that far off.
Yeah, he's this is year seven.
Yeah. So, I mean, I just think they've done a good job of playing into his skill set. And he's done he's honestly incredibly accurate with the ball against the Eagles last week. I think it's going to be a tough task for this Atlanta defense because so many times we talk about getting to the quarterback. They just ain't going to let you do it, man. It's just the bottom line. They're going to move him around the pocket. They're going to do everything they can to utilize protections and move linemen and do a bunch of other stuff that won't allow you to get in the backfield. And even if you do, he's probably already gotten rid of the ball.
Well, look, he's this will be the fourth time that we've played him. The third time is Tampa's quarterback, and he's done okay against the Falcons. Six touchdowns, an interception. I mean, he does a good job, and last year he did a good job of keeping plays alive. Remember the drive in Tampa where he gets the big scramble. Now I think we intercept him there late in that drive, but he does a good job of keeping it alive. But look. You can get after him. This is an offensive line that if you can heat up. Denver got, I think, 8 sacks against him. And they hit him early and often, and it changed the game. And then you look at last week, they did a good job, like I think you pointed out, getting the ball out of his hand. Everything was quick. He looked like Mike, you pointed out on the film, he looked like a shortstop getting rid of the ball.
You're going to have to try to get the pass rush going. And so I was talking to you guys about some sack stats earlier. And there are 1, 2, 3, 4 players in the NFL individually that have more sacks than the Falcons do collectively. Aiden Hutchinson, for example, has 6.5, whereas the Falcons are tied with 5 other individual players with just 4 on the season.
I don't know about you, but I just don't think that's a big stat yet. It will be. I just don't think it is yet.
But does it need to be tomorrow? Can you get it going tomorrow with Bo just saying he thinks that they're going to be able to get to the quarterback?
I would love it if they could. I just don't think they will. And I think that you need to play to your strength, which is your secondary, and drop guys into coverage and do everything you can to press, take away the quick throws, take away the underneath stuff, and then just make sure you're manning up on their big receivers down deep. I mean, I would love to say, man, you know what? They need to draw up a way to really get in the backfield and affect Baker Mayfield. I don't think anybody can do that in the NFL right now if Tampa doesn't want them to, because like we just said, everything in their offense is designed. Even though they have a freaking Hall of Fame level left tackle, everything in their offense is designed to not put stress on that offensive line and pass protection.
Well, go look at what the Falcons have done all year. They played off. They played off coverage and at cover three. You talk about how much they've been in cover three last week, but they played off and they keep everything in front of them, and then they come up and they make sure tackling. I mean, look at D. Alford, A.J. Terrell, Mike Hughes last week. They made some really good tackles against the Alvin Kamaras and the Rashid Shaheeds and Chris Olave as well. All three guys who are going to that they can house you if you miss a tackle and they get space. That said, how about this stat? Tampa Bay has 8 sacks on the season. 8. They got 6 last week. Okay, they got 6 sacks last week. So remember, Mike and I were talking, and some rando Philly fan wanted to come at me about how, well, they were missing A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. No, Philadelphia didn't really look like they wanted to be there last week. I mean, I've watched offensive line play, and I've watched the defensive play alone, defensive line and the defensive secondary. They were shoe-dusting tackles, and they looked lethargic up front with their get-after-it, their want-to, okay? That is not about who you're missing, because the Falcons are missing guys too, and it's all about the want-to of what you did. So all that said, Tampa Bay could come in here last in sacks, honestly, because they had 2 coming into last week.
I do want to self-correct. I think I said 5 players. It's 4 players that have more. But
either way, unacceptable that an individual has more as a team. But that said, Tampa wasn't knocking people's you know, blanks in the dirt themselves coming into last week. So, you know, you can have one good week and jump up that chart, is my point.
Yeah, and look, man, and you know what's funny about it is I was just saying that, like, I don't think that's been a big stat to this point for the Falcons, and it's because of the quarterbacks they've played. They've been pretty hard to get to. So credit to Tampa for being able to get to Jalen Hurts as many times as they did. You know, I like you said, though, I didn't think that they played an in particularly inspiring brand of football when it came to what they put on tape last week. And look, I'm going to actually kick back on that a little bit. I think some of that does have to do with leadership and the guys you're missing. I think if you have Lane Johnson in the fold and you have A.J. Brown in the fold, it's not just about what they're on the field. I think it's about the kind of the attitude they bring in that locker room. I think they are inspired players that have been in a lot of these day games in September. I don't think a lot of people understand how lucky we are as an organization not to have to play in this outdoor stadium in the month of September at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. A lot of times, right? And it just that's a tough thing. I mean, I was talking about Bama yesterday. They're going to Vanderbilt this week after the game they had last week. They're going to play at Vanderbilt at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's like, you better not have a letdown game. And I think the Eagles definitely felt like they were having that kind of letdown mode against Tampa last week. So that's always a tough circumstance.
And I understand that. I feel like if I got that many guys that can't control themselves in a September game and step up, that's a problem for me of what the core I've put together. If I miss. And look at the deep. Who are they missing on defense? Because all the guys we just talked about were offensive players, and I didn't help them look any better on defense. I didn't help Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis play hard on defense, or you know the C.J. Gardner Johnsons in the secondary that were shoe dusts and tackles. So
we're going to take a belt to him.
I would at least expect one side of the ball to step up, but that's the reality of what we saw. I'm not. You tell me. You saw it too. You know
what? No, I'm. Did you guys see the clip of C.J. Gardner of Gardner Johnson saying before the game, "I'm about to take a belt to him today"? He's coming out the tunnel. It's like, and then they went out and got smoked. I was like, dude, you just see it. Like, you should probably stop talking for a little bit, man.
Just for a little bit.
Well, that guy's never. I look. Got played at Florida where I watch all Florida's games. He hasn't stopped talking since he didn't. I don't know if he's ever. He might have came out of the womb talking trash.
Yeah.
That's like Quinyon Mitchell for Philadelphia. He likes to talk a lot of trash, too.
I do want to turn this back to Tampa a little bit, though, and talk about some of the players they have. I think that Cody Monk is their right guard, and a lot of people remember him for his headshot coming out of North Dakota State.
Yeah,
he had, like, the
no
mullet
teeth.
With the teeth, you know.
Yes.
So he's obviously a second-round pick to them a year ago. I thought he was maybe one of the worst offensive linemen in the NFL a year ago. And I say that, and I'm willing to voice his name right now because I don't think he's that anymore. He looked much improved. I think him and Luke Gedecky next to each other on the right side of Tampa's offensive line do look much improved. I think Gedecky still leaves a lot to be desired as far as his run blocking at the right tackle spot. And hopefully this defensive line from Atlanta can take advantage of it because let's just be honest, Atlanta's defensive interior on the defensive line has not been very good this year.
Well, one of the things that worries me, and you pointed out to me, and Mike was explaining, Tiff, when we were watching the All-22 of that Tampa game, he kept saying, oh, they're running duo. They ran duo there. And I'm like, explain to me what duo is. Real quick, Mike, explain to what duo is because this is what worries me about their run game this week.
Well, duo is what I honestly thought that the Falcons would run more of this year. It was kind of a staple last year of the LA Rams. And what you're doing is you're essentially just double teaming anybody that's in a gap. You have a four down front. You're going to get a couple of double teams. You're going to leave the backside tackle kind of on an island by himself, and you're going to try to get a double team with the front side tight end and tackle, right? So you're hoping to honestly get three double teams, and what you're trying to do is you're trying to push the defensive linemen and their butt back into the linebackers at the second level, right? And what it does, your running back gets to going downhill, kind of stutter steps about a yard or two behind the line of scrimmage, and he picks one of those three holes. He tries to work off of those double teams, kind of picks his own route, and just mushes the pile forward. And I saw them run duo probably in the first half last week against Philly, and that's not the team you want to run duo against. I saw them run it probably three times, and they had differing levels of success. But I think that's a play that when you line up against the Atlanta Falcons right now and some of the success they've had vertically run blocking our defensive line, I think that's going to be a staple of what Tampa tries to do this week.
And that's what worries me because one of the things we've seen is our defensive line not get blown up, but maybe take on these blocks like that, these double teams, et cetera, and then our linebackers have seemed to get washed into everything. Yeah. And they, you know, I've seen Caden Ellis get washed into play. I've also seen it on the other side where Troy Anderson at times has gotten kind of lost. Now, I don't know what Troy Anderson's going to be, if he's going to play. That is why I think Rashawn Evans, who has been signed to the practice squad, will be called up. I think he and Hennessy will be your game day elevations. And I think Rashawn Evans will get a lot of playing time. That's where he's a little bit bigger of a guy than Ellis and Troy Anderson. He might have a huge impact on this game Thursday night.
And I know, too, if we got to get to break. I do want to talk later in the show, too, about J.D. Bertrand and what this defensive line could mean in a good or bad way for J.D. Bertrand if he's playing extended snaps tomorrow.
More on the Falcons and Bucks throughout the show. And, of course, the Braves, who are in the wild card series, what to expect tonight. But coming up next, we're going to hit a TB's timeout. What would have your family and your friends ringing the alarm bells if you did a certain thing? What would make them concerned? I'll tell you why I'm asking that question when we come back here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured, hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Mike, you said your wife, the kids were on fall break and now they're back.
Yeah, they were on fall break in Cobb last week. Now they're back in school. And, you know, there's a lot of moving around as far as GHSA playoffs go because of all the canceled games a week ago. But that's not something most Cobb teams dealt with because they already had the week off. So it's
well, if they're back, I just want to know which kid doesn't have their lunch today because Bo's coming here with the Lunchables.
Yo,
and
like,
so I just didn't know.
It is a little bit off-putting.
Some kid
at
640, doesn't have a meal.
6:44 a.m. that you've got a Lunchable.
Are there Ninja Turtles on the cover of that?
Oh, it's a Transformer.
Couldn't see it from here.
What kind of bologna do you have in there?
Bologna is an abomination.
Yeah. No, it's not. Not when you fry it. It's no,
so judgmental.
It's ham.
Yeah, bologna.
Ham and cheese.
That's what I call it.
Yeah.
Yeah, got a cookie too.
Bo, I hope you enjoy your Lunchable, man. Don't let them talk down on you.
Is it one of the vanilla Oreos?
Don't let them come for you like that.
It is one of the vanilla ones.
Wait, one of the what ones?
Vanilla Oreos.
It's got to be, like, I swear I didn't even look at it. I just have seen so many Lunchables with vanilla Oreos in
there. Where's the Capri Sun?
I got a Mountain Dew instead.
Yeah, there it is.
You know,
Diet.
Like DMD.
It's Diet Mountain Dew.
Because it's grown. Grown people drink
Mountain
Dews. I have
so many Lunchable at 6.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I'm a little bit shook, but it's okay. We'll move on from here.
Would you rather be eating a
Kit
Kat?
Rally?
I could have been eating a Kit Kat.
We'll all rally and we'll move on.
Look, maybe, you know, you're traveling with the Falcons, right?
Well, not this week.
But, but you know, the next time you do, you can save up your rations on the plane.
No, I get Uncrustables.
Some more respectable.
I get Uncrustables and bring those and leave them in my fridge. What? I put a couple in my bag.
Just imagining your wife's shopping list, and it's like it's like she's shopping for a toddler. I got to make sure Bo gets his Uncrustables and his Lunchables.
Oh, man.
That's where you want to be?
Get you enough chocolate milk, too? Oh, man. All right, we'll move on.
I like Yoo-Hoo's.
We're rallying.
Look, Yoo-Hoo's are better. I wonder what the Braves ate on their flight out to San Diego.
Well, whatever it was, it didn't work.
They dropped game one of the wild card series. It is the best of three, but they lost 4-0 to the Padres behind a rough start for A.J. Smith-Shawver in this one.
Before we get to, obviously, A.J. Smith-Shawver and anything, I got to bring up this topic because I know it was kind of going wild on social media. What did you guys think of the advertisement on the helmet?
Well, I didn't like it because it's clearly MLB – wide, because every helmet of every player of every playoff game that I watched, and I watched like three of them yesterday, had that Strauss, I think, is the name of it.
So strange.
Now, man. I don't know what that is, so I hope it's not like some kind of, I hope it's not some kind of like disaster relief or something, but oh wait, no matter. It says here it's a clothing company.
Yeah, I was going to I was going to say that's the point of advertising like that, because now there's probably a million plus people that are Googling what is Strauss? What company is Strauss?
Well, Strauss is a high performance workwear company that offers sleek, soft shell jackets, work pants, with a more tapered fit and modern shorts that blend workwear and streetwear influences.
This is their money at work. I can tell you right now. I just thought, like,
you guys can endorse me now because I'm a Strauss man.
I saw that. I don't know what that means.
I need y'all's thoughts on the matchup last night and.
Tiff, we're trying to avoid talking about last night's game because it was ugly.
I will just get to the
No. Here's why I tell you that we have reason for optimism tonight.
You got finger guns going.
Because they are sending Joe Musgrove out there. Not a big fan of him. He's a punk. Hit Josh Donaldson a few years ago. And I don't like him much, but he's a big dude, and I wouldn't say it to his face. However, he's thrown. He's got 8 games against the Braves where he started. He's got a 4.29 ERA. He's given up 7 home runs and a 42 innings pitched with 39 hits. We have Maximum Fried going tonight. He has got. He's gotten 5 games against the Padres. Been pretty good with a 2.3 ERA, and he's 23 strikeouts. Last time he pitched was May 17th against said Padres at home, though, and he had a couple of strikeouts and 4 1/3. He did give up 3 earned runs. Not his best, but not his worst. We need him to come out there and be what he was against the Royals, but we got to get some hits.
So I was on the internet yesterday, and I saw a story, and it leads me to ask this question before you take another bite of your Lunchable, Bo. What would have your family members, your friends, ringing the alarm? Like, if you did something, for example, if Bo walked in here and said, "I love everybody. I think everybody is wonderful." Will we not look at him?
I know that would sound my alarm.
We would be concerned.
Yeah. That's like kind of the pot calling the kettle black there with that actual explanation.
I said no way.
I think he's pretty spot on. I think he's pretty spot on. That is funny right there.
Slightly, you know.
I mean,
that would be like Tiff walking in and saying, "I feel great today." You know what I mean? You'd be like, "Whoa!" You started.
You know what?
I got my man's back over here.
You've made fun of me the entire segment. I say one thing and you get up in arms.
When you come up with a Lunchable, I can tee off. But you didn't go for the jugular. Mike did. I'm sorry, Mike, that I need a minute to adjust in the morning. But that's another stop topic for another time. What I want to talk about is this woman that went for a run outside of her home in Texas. And it was so alarming that she was running that her neighbor ran after her. It's like, "Hey, are you okay? Are you okay?" And she said, "Yeah, I'm just training for a marathon."
My neighbors would 100% do that to me. So, they'd be like, "What?
Is there a monster in your house? Why are
she
you running?"
She had on workout gear, but I guess it just caught everyone in probably the neighborhood off guard. And so her name is Anna Boswell.
I need to Google what she looks
Stanley
like.
And Stanley Golden was her neighbor. So it was her security camera that caught the neighbor coming out being like, you could see him kind of just jog. Like, "Are you okay?" Like asking her. She's like, "Yeah, I'm training for a marathon." That only been like day 3, I think she said, of her actual training for trying to get this
that
marathon
is hilarious.
Done. So,
oh my
but
gosh.
She was like, "Protect my neighbor at all costs," because now it's gone viral because people are saying, "Hey, that's a really good neighbor. Just making sure things are okay." So that would be me if I was, I don't know, on time for something in my life. And my family would be like, "Oh, she made it." You know, like I'm on time for
most things.
And but if we're doing, you know, family dinner or something, sometimes I'm a little, you know, behind.
Yeah,
a little. I think this is a sweet story, actually. I think that it's kind of why it went viral.
Yeah,
it's kind of. You know, you know people enough, and then you see something out of the ordinary, and a lot of people just be like, "I wonder why they're doing that. I better get on the Facebook HOA page and see what's going on. Maybe I'll talk trash about him, make a post." But this guy was like, "No, I'm going to go. I'm going to make sure she's okay. I'm going to run after her.
I got to get online and see what this neighborhood looks like." Because like,
it's a normal
is it just a normal subdivision?
I pulled the pictures.
The other argument people were making was that. that people don't, you know, if you see someone run, you want to know what's going on so you can get
right.
You can get out.
Yeah. Well, I'm also like, in my head, she's wearing like not running shoes, and that would be the first thing
she's
that would alarm
me. Full on, like she's in like yoga pants, sneakers, and
hilarious.
Some sort of what you would assume is like a workout top. But again, everyone wears athleisure nowadays, so it might have just truly been alarming to. Hey, are you all right?
I just figured like it's running? Nice.
Why are you running?
I figured somebody's running by and they're wearing like flats. I'd be like, oh, something's wrong with this person. But yeah, that's.
But if
awesome.
You know your neighbor,
yeah,
and then
awesome.
You're like, oh man, what?
My neighbors would be alarmed if I was running. I'm just telling you that.
Like, what is happening right now? All right, when we come back, we've got more on the Braves and this wild card series against the Padres. Game 2 of the best of 3 goes down tonight. And we'll continue to preview the Falcons and Bucks, what to expect on Thursday Night Football. We'll be right back here on The Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
We are in our 7 o'clock hour. It is brought to you by Zero Res. Smart, lasting, clean.
That Uncrustable hit the spot.
You didn't have an Uncrustable.
Oh, that's right. It was Lunchable. Whatever.
Unlunchable. A lunch for children.
I got one more vanilla wafer. You want it?
I'm not. I want to make sure I put this on the record. I'm not judging that you're eating a Lunchable at all.
It's actually pretty good.
I'm judging that you're eating a Lunchable at what was 6:45 a.m. That's the more concerning
part. Mike's just judging everybody.
It's in the fridge downstairs. You can buy them.
Yeah.
It's not cheap, though. I'd rather have a breakfast sandwich than from the McDonald's, you know, one of those McGriddles. Yeah. Bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles. So good.
I love
something
those,
something about mixing the syrup and...
No, that's the best part about it, Tiff. Nope. What are you talking about?
I love it because it's
keep
infused.
Keep it separate on my plate.
And it's infused. What? How do you keep separate syrup and pancakes?
I don't let the syrup drip. Like, if I have sausage and pancakes on a plate, the syrup does not touch the sausage.
That's the beauty of the McGriddle is it's only in the pancake part.
Exactly. It mixes so well.
I know.
Tiff, I know what
it's
your
like
answer
science.
I know what your answer to this question is going to be. So this question doesn't apply to you. Mike and Bo, have you ever just like put maple syrup directly on your eggs? Like not from it running over, but like put it directly, just squirt it directly on your eggs.
Have we met? 1,000%. You kidding me right
That's
now?
What I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about, Mike.
Yeah, come on, man.
Bo?
Like, let's go.
No, I don't put it directly on my
That's
eggs.
That's disgusting.
I don't
it's
mind if
delicious.
It touches, but it doesn't. I don't.
What are we talking about? Disgusting.
I don't need my eggs to have
who's judging who
syrup on it, but I don't
I
mind
said
if
it's
it does.
Disgusting. I didn't call you disgusting.
Felt like it.
Or say
I felt
that you
targeted.
Weren't a pleasant person.
Yeah. You said I wasn't a pleasant person?
No, I think
I said
that
or
was,
said that you weren't a pleasant person.
That was a little bit of
that was a little bit get back.
Ago. I got you. Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm on track.
You know what I've noticed?
No,
you have noticed. Hold on.
I'm dispersing my feelings.
We're just going to air out the truth in here for a second.
That's the truth.
You know what I've noticed is that if I come at Tiffany, it just seems like she just doesn't really care. She's like, whatever. But if Mike says something, she very much cares. I don't know. And here's the deal. I don't know if I should.
But it's the same thing. It's
hold
the
on,
same way.
Hold on. I don't know if I should take. I don't know if I should be
coffee.
The one that's offended by it.
Yeah.
Because
that's
either
a good question.
Either y'all just say, well, that's Bo. He's an idiot. Or you don't care about anything that I say. And so either way, I don't think they're good. I think I'm the one that should be offended in all of this.
Yeah,
so
somewhere in there, there's a Which One Wednesday.
I'm
I don't know
to,
where it is. I got
to
figure it out. But somewhere in there, there's a Which
I
One Wednesday.
I think I'll make myself a victim in all this.
I love it, man. That's hilarious.
All right. Who Who takes the win this week? The rest of this week? Are you going Braves tonight?
Oh, don't ask me to do that.
In a game two of a three-game set in the wild card series against the Padres after losing last night 4-0. So they got shut out. Or are you taking the Falcons on a Thursday night football against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Don't make me pick between which kid's my favorite.
Yeah.
Or, you know, that's basically what you're doing.
Which kid are you sharing your Uncrustable with?
You know, it's a simple choice for me, to be honest with you.
I'll tell you the truth. I share Uncrustables with the Falcons. Because they're the ones that give them to me.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Hey, give me my Uncrustables on the plane.
Easy enough. Things aren't cheap either, speaking of which. I would go with the Falcons.
It might be hard to find, too.
The Braves, we have a big enough sample size to where I think we know what the Braves are at this point, right? They have to have excellent pitching off the top, and they have to somehow every few days find timely hitting. And the fact that they need to do that in back-to-back days in a do-or-die scenario, I'm rooting for them. Don't get me wrong. I just think that, you know, it's just one of those things where you look at the percentages, you look at the team you're playing. When we talked to C.J. Nikowski yesterday, he mentioned the fact that he thinks the Padres are the World Series favorites, and they showed it last night.
He's not alone either.
Yeah,
and they showed it last night. So while I think the Buccaneers are good, this is in Atlanta. It's a primetime game. You know, hopefully the city, and I know they will because they have all season so far, will show up and root on the Falcons. And you get situations like last week where you're playing a good team and you do all the little things right and you come out with a victory. So I just think that I think the Falcons are always going to have that puncher's chance because you have excellent players and you have, to me, you know, smart players and smart coaching staff that you can get it done in some of those crunch time situations.
Go ahead.
No, I was just, you know, I was going to say the point with the Braves is it's just, like you said, we've been there, we kind of know. But with the Falcons, we have a chance to right this ship and make this special. The Braves have been to 7 straight postseasons. The Mets have only made 11 in their entire franchise's history. The Mets have made 11 postseasons. The Braves have 7
That's
straight.
One of the more unbelievable numbers I've ever heard.
And I told you that to be like, we haven't made the playoffs in 6 years for Falcons. This season is still young. We still have a knock on wood, a pretty healthy team for the most part.
Oh, gosh.
And
careful, bro.
And Dylan's knocking on a real wood door now for me.
I don't know if it's
good.
I'm going to take the Falcons win because I think it's pivotal. I think this sets up the division. You win this game, you go to Carolina next week with a chance to go. To go to 4-2 and be 3-0 in the division.
Yeah, and that's significant. What else is significant? You have 2 quarterbacks in this that have been really good in crunch time. When it comes down to the final minutes of the game, we've seen Baker Mayfield pull it off. But also, Kirk Cousins, 30 game-winning drives in his NFL career, including in Week 4 against the Saints. So that's the 5th most among active QBs. I'm not saying that you want it to come down to the wire, but I would say you should feel pretty good about your chances if it does in a matchup where it's an NFC South, it's a division rival, and anything can happen.
And he's had some decent games against the Bucs, including last September when he went and he played Tampa Bay. And I want to say that was in Tampa, but I could be wrong. Went 33 of 44 for 344 with a couple of touchdowns. He did get sacked twice. One thing I want to say about Kirk Cousins is I keep hearing this narrative, and it's, you know, people are asking me. I've heard it in throughout the media, you know, Kirk Cousins healthy. I think you're getting pretty much what Kirk Cousins is. He's a guy that's, you know, you go through his stats. He's a guy that's been hit a lot in his career. He's been sacked a lot. It's about his mobility. Do I think they could do more moving him in the pocket? Yeah, Mike, you and I have talked about this ad nauseum at times, that move this pocket a little bit more. However, I go back and watch against a pretty good pass rushing team in New Orleans last week. I thought even down Drew Dahlman and Caleb McGarry, they did a pretty good job of protecting him in the passing game. Now, there was some poorly run routes. There was some guys that maybe got grabbed a little bit more. And there was just some bad throws by Kirk. I mean, everybody was to blame, but why there wasn't more. But I thought they did and there was some holding penalties at times or some, you know, hands in the face that were pretty questionable at times as well. That said, I thought they did a good job protecting him. This pass defense comes in here. They've only got, well, they've had 8 sacks on the season, which is double us, but they got 6 last week alone against Philadelphia, which is a surprising stat to me in its own right.
Yeah, and I can't say enough about how well I think Ryan Newsel and Storm Norton did play last week, honestly. And given the circumstances, and we just talked about Baker Mayfield, right, and how well he moves and how quick he gets rid of the ball. And it's kind of the opposite for us in Atlanta right now. He's not moving very well, and the ball is staying. I feel like the ball, as far as our game plan last week, was in the pocket in Kirk's hands probably twice as long as Baker Mayfield had the ball in the pocket. And so shout out to those guys. And look, it's not for not trying. New Orleans smelled blood in the water. They tried to run stunts. They tried to run stuff up the middle. And yet we did a great job kind of counteracting that, and also continue to shout out. And you've mentioned this a number of times, Bijan Robinson picking up some of the blitzes. He's been incredible this year in blitz pickup. So I just think it's one of those things that it's as always in the NFL, it comes down to game planning, right? And we have got to find a way to be more successful on third downs and short yardage and in the red zone. We've done a decent job between the 20s, honestly, of moving the ball, and that's the reasons our numbers aren't so lopsided. But third down continues to be a problem, and when you look at Ryan Newsel going up against Vita Vea, although he probably won't be in on third and long, that does look like a mismatch on paper. So I'll be really interested to see what Zach Robinson has in plan for that.
Well, let's flip and talk about the Falcons defense and the run defense specifically. So the Bucs are averaging around 96 rushing yards per game this season. They have not yet averaged 100 rushing yards per game in a season since 2016. And now you have a Falcons defense in which Coach Raheem Morris is looking for their run defense to improve. Here he is with Coach Dave Archer on the Coach's Show.
You would like to be able to stop that thing with a too high safety and leave it to the front. And when you do that, you got to have somebody playing a gap and a half. So we just got to be more sound in our gap and a half fits. Some of the stuff that we like to take shots on, you see guys taking shots, whether it be our linebackers, whether it be a D-line. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, and that allows some creases. So you got to be more calculated on the decisions you make when you take those shots. We got to be a little bit more careful. We got to be a little bit more playing it the right way, doing things the right way, using our hands, being able to get on and off blocks a little bit better. You know, it's not one in particular person, but it's just a thing that we got to be able to settle those things down for everybody at all costs. And I really love where our group is going because I love the understanding. I love the immediate understanding on the sideline to be able to communicate those guys. Guys like David, David going out there and being able to tell you exactly what happened, how it went through the B gap, and he's got to make a better tackle. Or whether it's Caden Ellis being to come off and say, hey, I shot my gun on that one. I got to be able to use my hands and fall back. I mean, these guys speak very clearly on what they want to do and what they have to do, and they were able to go out there and accomplish that in the second half.
I think it's so interesting to hear that you talk about gap and a half fits for defensive linemen, right? And too many times this year have we seen up front of the defensive line, we've got shoulder turners, right? And what that means is, as a defensive lineman, you want to stay square. You want to make your body big. You want to take up one blocker, two blockers, right? And when you get your shoulders turned, not only do you do that because you think you have better leverage, but it also makes the gap that much wider for the running back to be able to fit through. And I think we kind of mentioned it earlier, Tiff, and we wanted to go into it. When you look at the possibility that J.D. Bertrand is a part of this game plan, right, and then play after play after play, if they're running duo downhill at you and they're entering the line of scrimmage and they're just, you know, continuing, J.D. Bertrand is just continuing to get hit, and all of a sudden he starts triggering a little bit earlier and saying, I got to stop him, and then Baker Mayfield hits one of those crossing routes over the top behind him on a play-action pass or something up the seam. I think that's got to be part of the game plan for Tampa Bay, right? Well, I think you're hoping your offensive line can unseat these defensive linemen from Atlanta.
And to that point, I might run blitz them early on early downs. Run blitz them, kind of get them out where they're a little bit timid of doing that. They don't know when you're coming. I think you just did. To me, the linebackers have to stay out of the wash. They cannot get caught up when if that duo starts working and they get them pushed back into that second level. They have got to stay out of all that traffic, because that's where we are getting absolutely gashed in the run game.
Let's get some NFL headlines. What does the future hold for Devontae Adams in Las Vegas? I can give you some insight. I just saw him during their game when I had the Browns and them over the weekend. But now the rumor mill is churning. Perhaps Bo has some thoughts on where he wants to see him end up. We'll discuss next, along with some other headlines, on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Lots of news coming out of Las Vegas. And according to the Las Vegas Review Journal, I cannot talk today, the Raiders are increasingly open to dealing Devontae Adams and have begun calling teams to gauge interest in his services. Now, this also comes from NFL media that Adams came to the Las Vegas front office on Tuesday and said he preferred to be traded. Now, no deal is imminent, but it remains a situation to watch. Now, Adams was asked if he thinks he'll play another down as a Raider. Here's his response.
All I can control is this talk we're having right here. And then after we're done with this, all I can control is the next thing that I'm on to. So I'm going to get up in a minute and get a nice workout in, and that's all I can control.
That was Devontae Adams on Up and Adams with Kay Adams. So you heard her reaction to
what that was.
Golly, dude,
I thought that was like a press conference. The alarm
bells started going off.
I was like, what was that? I'm looking at you. I'm looking at Dylan. I was like, what? Well, where? Who? What? Go?
He told me during it that it was Up and Adams, so I felt the need to.
No, I'm glad like somebody you clarified.
Somebody left their Bluetooth on at the wrong time.
I needed you to clarify.
Anyway, focus, gentlemen. Focus.
I don't want to sit here and act like Devontae Adams is completely to blame for this entire situation. And I also don't want to sit here and act like he's not at fault. Because Devontae Adams showed in the receiver show that he has moments where he shows his emotions and lets it get the best of him.
Yeah.
I also think, though, that he feels probably misled by going to Las Vegas, and then they immediately get rid of Carr after what, like half a season? Yeah. They bench him, and then he's there. But also, you forced your way out of one of the best franchises in the NFL and then signed with one of the worst franchises the last 20 years in the NFL. So the reality is, I'd love to have Devontae Adams on my team. I think he's one of the top five receivers in the league. But you're part of this problem, that the reason you're there.
So I want to play this other sound from Devontae Adams. And then give you a little bit of insight into what I saw on the sidelines on Sunday. So here he is talking about maybe those moments you were referring to that he might have, Bo.
Honestly, it's hard to comment on. Okay. I'm sure you would imagine as such, but it's one of those situations where I just keep my head down and keep doing my thing, and let the chips fall where they may as it pertains to that. But I haven't. There's been no communication with anybody from the team since that became a thing. But, you know, it's kind of just like the weekly what's up with Tay thing. You know, it's always some sort of drama. But at the end of the day, 1-7 doesn't create any of it. So people can say what they want. But I'm just chilling, trying to be the model for, you know, not stirring the pot and just locking in and doing what I got to do.
So from what I saw, and again, that was Devontae Adams on Up and Adams with Kay Adams. From what I saw on the sidelines and him not playing on Sunday, and I told you guys this yesterday, he was coaching up some of the young receivers. He even had a headset. He had the sticker on it that said, "This is for Adams," hanging on his hip, looked like a coach out there. Every time that the offense was on the field, he was up on the sideline engaging what was happening. And every time they were back on the sidelines, he was sitting in between the quarterbacks and some of the young receivers there, coaching them up and talking to them. So it'll be interesting to see how this ends up all playing out for him.
I think that's a great point to make, Tiff, because I think you can look around the league and DJ Moore. Is anybody? I don't know if you guys have seen the videos of DJ Moore on the sideline and some of the faces he's making. And that is a team that won this past weekend, right? That's a team with Caleb Williams, who continues to make strides each week. But man, he is frustrated like no other, sitting by himself, kind of pouting on the bench about what his role is in this offense. And that's a team that's winning. That's a team that won. So I think that is important to kind of keep in mind about Devontae's attitude on the sideline and around his teammates. And, we see a small fraction of the interactions that he has with other people inside that locker room and that coaching staff and everything else. But I'm with Bo. I think any team would love to have a Devontae Adams on their squad, and I don't know how many people can financially make it happen, but, man, he should be a hot commodity.
Well, if I could get him here, I would. And what I would do is I'd play him at wide receiver, and then I'd tell him that he's Travis Hunter NFL version. I need him coming off the edge, and I would have him coming in and just DB blitzes and stuff. Yeah, I mean, we got to. Hey, man, we're trying to win games. We don't
slide
want
it down
you
to a 52-man roster.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Well, let's head up to New York, and we're talking about the Jets here. Is there drama amongst that team? And so apparently, Boomer Esiason of W Fan 660 in New York. Did I say that right? The WFAN?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, WFAN.
Or that, you know. Or
WFAN or WFAN, I think they're both appropriate.
All right, woohoo, good. So Boomer Esiason, he discussed on there that he thinks there's an issue, a major issue, between Aaron Rodgers and Coach Robert Saleh.
I try to watch to see if I see any interactions on the sideline or anything. Nothing. Not that I see a guy walking right past another guy. I can't imagine that. Both will deny it. I guarantee it. But there is an issue there. And it's because you have this 40-year-old Hall of Fame quarterback-to-be dealing with a coach that I think he doesn't respect.
So you just heard what Boomer Esiason thinks. Let's hear from the quarterback himself, Aaron Rodgers.
I don't get into what the conversation is going on outside the building around myself, the relationships that I have. The most important ones are looking a guy in the eye in the locker room or in a meeting room and knowing, you know, he's got your back, you got his back. Rob and I have a great relationship. We have since day one when I got here. You know, we have text message conversations, threads that we're in, conversations about a number of different topics outside of football. We got a good friendship.
I thought he was going to say, I'll look you in the meeting room and tell you I think you're an idiot. You remember everything I said about Davante Adams and as far as he pushed himself out of one of the best organizations in the NFL and into one of the worst ones in the last, I said, 20 years?
I think I recall that.
50 years. Take all of that and apply it to Aaron Rodgers because he did the exact same thing. He pushed himself out of one of the best organizations with a good coach.
He pushed himself out of there. No, that's harsh, dude.
Oh, really? How?
They drafted his replacement. What are you talking about?
Because he started talking about retiring.
I would start talking about it, too, when we needed wide receivers. He literally had never – this year was the first time he's ever thrown a touchdown pass to a first-round wide receiver.
Let me tell you something.
So I think I'd be pretty upset if I was him, too, in a three- or four-time MVP.
If Aaron Rodgers wanted to be in Green Bay, that's exactly where the hell he'd be right now.
Yeah, well, it doesn't mean he'd be winning.
I don't know if Jordan Love can win there. I don't know why he can't. That said, I don't blame Aaron Rodgers for some of this with Robert Saleh because I think some of it is Saleh's trying to kind of appease everyone. Dude, you're going to blame a Hall of Fame quarterback about a snap count and how his cadence is up there? I mean, dude, you don't need to know. Aaron's absolutely right. That was ridiculous, Saleh. Well, maybe we need to change it. No, I agree with Aaron Rodgers there. Hold players accountable. What are we doing if we're not holding players accountable?
Yeah, no, I agree. I tend to kind of go on Aaron's side of this, though, and think this is mostly a non-story. I think the Boomer – this is a New York media kind of thing, right? Boomer's like, well, it's not a great relationship. Walk past them on the sideline. Okay. Like, that doesn't mean they have a bad relationship. Maybe it just means that they're not – you know, the talkative type in their relationship. I just don't think that there's a massive problem between these two. I really don't. And I've watched multiple of their games. Aaron Rodgers is just different, dude. He's not buddy. He's never been buddy-buddy on the sideline, you know, aside from like David Bakhtiari. And that's pretty much it. And so I think it's a good working relationship. And I think that Robert Saleh probably calmed down and he was like, yeah, you know what? Your cadence is fine. And I think they move on from that. I don't think this is a problem. I think it's a problem because it's the Jets. I think that's the only reason we even talk about it.
Well, this news coming out, the last 48 hours, it's been pretty tough for the Bills with the loss. And then now this news of a suspension of Von Miller. And so the NFL has suspended him for violating the league's personal conduct policy. The suspension is in response to allegations from last fall that Miller assaulted his pregnant girlfriend in November of 2023 during a Buffalo Bills bye week. He did turn himself in then for a charge of third-degree felony assault of a pregnant woman. He was booked before being released on $5,000 bond. Of course, Miller is saying the allegations are 100% false, and he said that the case was closed. That was in July. Again, the NFL, though, has not necessarily said that this is the reason why they are suspending him, but this is the information that's out there.
Well, they must have done some kind of investigation or right. They would not be suspending him. I don't know what they did, what they found, what kind of evidence they have, but I can tell you that the NFL is not just going to go suspend a player just to suspend him.
You can't.
And it would never hold, yeah, to your point, never hold him to PA. There has got to be something of some credible substance here, Mike.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate to say the least, right? Because, I mean, Von Miller is one of the people you know the most about, it seems like, as a player in the NFL. I mean, he used to do a digital show and podcast and everything else. He was highly regarded as a person for the longest time, and yet you have this hiccup, and you never like to judge somebody based off one situation. But, man, it's it stinks to hear all that coming out, and you wait to, you know, kind of his reaction. But according to what I heard, there's like no appeals process for this or anything. Like, he is just straight up suspended for the next four games, final decision. And so, yeah, if I were him, probably just keep my mouth shut too, man. This is there's nothing good that you can say about any of this. And, you know, serve your suspension, and it stinks all the way around. There's no doubt about it.
Just eat your Lunchables, stay in shape, and be ready to go
when you're off the suspension.
This hour brought to you by Zero Res, smart, lasting, clean. We got to mix it up for you here. We got Grant McCauley joining the show a day after his birthday. I read the emails here. I hope you guys did too. Anyway, he'll break down what went wrong in that Brave shutout in game one of the wild card against San Diego Padres next year on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are back here on the Morning Shift and headed straight to the WadeFord.com hotline. That is where we find our very own Braves insider and reporter and host of From the Diamond, Grant McCauley, who also happens to be a fellow Libra. Happy belated birthday.
Oh, thank you all very much.
You're welcome. Hope it was a good one yesterday, despite, you know, some other things that may have happened last night.
You know what Grant got for his birthday?
What?
An expanded strike zone from the home plate umpire for the Padres last night. What do you think about that, Grant? It wasn't Eric Gregg-esque, but it was getting there at times.
No, I was looking for the return policy on that. And you know what was also infuriating was the production values that were going on. If they want to do an umpire cam, that's fine. I understand we're innovating and we're doing stuff that, you know, maybe nobody asked for, like talking to players for 10 seconds in the dugout in the middle of a game where they tell you nothing. But putting all that aside, that umpire cam, going to it while the pitch is live and you can't even see what happens, I don't understand that at all. So, yeah, a lot of fun was had on the broadcast last night, as you can tell.
Grant, the Braves play, 27 emotional innings in a little over 24 hours. It kind of looked like it yesterday, like it caught up to them. One of the biggest takeaways I had, though, just watching, was the emotion it looked like that was draped across A.J. Smith-Shawver's face, and he's put in an impossible situation and tries to step up for this team. Obviously, a rough, rough go of it. What did you make of his start yesterday? And, you know, what was your biggest takeaway in terms of the energy of the team?
Yeah, I think that was referred to as emotional damage in the first inning. It's not the way that he wanted it to go. And you know, as much as we can sit here and, you know, hindsight the options of who could have started, there was no good plan B once Chris Sale became unavailable to this club. There just was not going to be a scenario where you looked at it and you thought, you know, we don't have this guy that we really need, but we have this one or this one or this one. It was more of a making the best of a difficult situation. And I understood the A.J. Smith-Shawver call. If he is the guy that comes out there pumping 97, 98 and getting a lot of swing and miss with his secondaries, he was not that guy in the first couple of batters. And look, I'm not going to lay the loss at his feet because of an inning and a third and three runs. I mean, the offense was not able to solve Michael King. That is where the game was lost. If you don't score, you're really not going to have a chance to win. But really, you got to score more than the other guys. And the Braves just didn't take advantage of their opportunities. And that's been a song that we've sung way too many times in 2024 about the Braves. But while the A.J. Smith-Shawver move clearly didn't pay big dividends for the Braves, getting three relievers, not even your three top relievers, we're talking Aaron Bummer, Jesse Chavez, and Luke Jackson, to toss 6 2/3 innings of one-hit, one-run ball, they kept you in the game. This is another one where, offensively speaking, the Braves have been challenged all year long to try to find ways. They couldn't find the ways yesterday.
Grant, did Chris Sale even make the trip out? I know that was the question. Okay.
No. Well, no, he's going to stay back and get some work done because, you know, he needs to get treatment, clearly, on the back to get that all straightened out as best they can because, you know, left off the wild card roster, I expected that as soon as they said that he wasn't going to pitch on Monday. I think some fans may have hoped that, well, maybe it was an elaborate smokescreen to save Chris Sale for game one and he'll ride in on a big horse swinging a giant sword. Not happening, unfortunately. There were no swords in yesterday's game except for the ones that the Braves unfortunately had to fall on. But you put that aside, you know, if they can advance and Chris Sale feels like he can pitch, that would be a huge boost. There were times, Brian Snitker said, over the past really 5 to 7 days leading up to that Monday potential start that maybe he could have, but they also were cautious that he hadn't really, you know, as they say, stepped on it and really pushed himself to see how long he might be able to last in a start. And I think that was ultimately what led Chris Sale to decide, if I can't be enough, you know, the enough percentage of me to help the team win, I don't want to go out there and cause them to lose. And that was part of the calculus in making this decision, unfortunately.
Well, short of Jon Snow showing up tonight in Petco Park or whatever they call that stadium these days, Grant, what can Cent do to kind of to get this lineup going? Is there anything he can do? Move? I know he's tried everything under the sun this season, but could you kind of move some guys around? Maybe move Soler up, Harris down. I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, you know, I think we've talked about, and I don't know that it's as dire as like moving the deck chairs on the Titanic, but it's felt that way at times because when this club starts to sink, it really doesn't have the wherewithal to be able to pull out of some of the issues that it's dealt with and find that big inning and put that crooked number on the board and kind of live on the momentum for a while. And some of this has a lot to do with the approach. The rest of it has to do with not the king in the north, but the king of the Padres, and that was Michael King yesterday, who had great strikeout stuff. And I talked about this one, Dukes and Bell. I've talked about this in some of the other shows I've done. I don't know that enough people talked about the season that Michael King had. There was a reason he got the ball in game one for the Padres, and he showed it last night with 12 punchouts over seven innings. The Braves did not draw a walk. They struck out 15 times. Infuriatingly enough, they out-hit the San Diego Padres 7-5, but three runs went on the board early, and as a matter of fact, the Tatis two-run homer was really all they needed ultimately because the Braves were hitless with runners in scoring position and couldn't find a way to get it done. You know, I have, you know, talked about Ozzie Albies coming back and maybe asking a lot out of him in the two spot. He shut me up in game one of that doubleheader against the Mets for sure. It's in there. He has the ability to do that. About the only move he could make is to bump Soler up to number two and maybe hit Ozzie in the five spot of the order. But short of that, you got who you got, and the guys that you don't have that aren't available aren't walking through that door, and you kind of have to make do with what they have been doing, and that's try to find it from maybe some unlikely sources at times, but you've got to have the Matt Olsons and the Marcelo Zunas do what they do in the middle of the order because Michael Harris has been setting the table at the top for a while here.
Yeah, and you mentioned, Grant, we're not going to have a Chris Sale coming out of the coffin like the Undertaker and just coming back from the dead and stepping into it.
I'd take a headless Ned Stark at this point.
You do obviously expect a lot from Max Fried tonight, and you know, we talk about it possibly being his last start for the Braves. Hopefully, they can continue to go on and win a couple of games and move on from this series. But what do you make of the thought that this might be the last start you see Max Fried in a Braves uniform tonight?
Yeah, I mean, it's all part of the story of this game, and it's been the story, obviously, this year to varying degrees and kind of building to a crescendo at this point for Max Fried, who I do have a ton of respect for both what he's done for the Braves over the course of his 8 years here and, of course, the way that he has handled the issue of impending free agent. We've all seen and discussed ad nauseum, you know, the final curtain for Freddie Freeman and Dansby Swanson, and the long-term deals aren't given out to every player as much as you'd like to keep them all. Alex Anthopoulos has said, you know, you kind of have to make your decisions based on, you know, your best guess and your best homework. And I don't think that there is a case that Max Fried leaving makes the Braves a better club. I think we all know that. I'd love to see it, you know, work out where he can stick around. He enters free agency with a few other starting pitchers that should draw some interest. But I feel like, you know, depending on what maybe a Blake Snell gets, depending on what some of these other arms could end up, like where is that market going to be set? And Max Fried, you know, where does he fit in with some other clubs that could be interested? And unlike a lot of people, I don't expect it to just be the Dodgers, by the way, because I don't know if you noticed, but they spent about $1 billion on two arms last year, one of whom who didn't throw a pitch this year but had a historic season and probably wins an MVP, who's in their plans next year. And they got Tyler Glasnow, and they got Yamamoto. So I don't know that Max Fried is necessarily going to L.A., and that's a fait accompli, but I'm interested to see how it all plays out. Would love to see him come back, but you'd love to see it even more. And Max Fried said this after his start against the Royals. Just go out there and continue the season so that he can make more starts for this club and they can do something special. And I think that has to be his primary focus because he really put the free agency stuff away and put it to bed early in spring training. He said, look, I'm just not going to focus on that because it's not going to do me any good.
Yeah, Grant, I'm not trying to push anybody out the door because I'm one of the biggest Brian Snitker supporters out there, but I do know that he won't be around for, you know, maybe more than 3 or 4 years, and he'll retire and kind of live the rest of his life because he's been a baseball lifer. The moment Eddie Perez had with Marcelo Zuna that, you know, ESPN caught and they talked about, I thought was amazing. I know Walt Weiss has been a guy. But is Eddie Perez the guy that maybe we could they might look to take over? He's been with the organization for a very long time.
He has, and he's taken some opportunities to manage in some of the foreign leagues over the winter to, you know, get a little bit of that under his belt. And I think he's been a a candidate or at least a person worth talking to for some other clubs over the years, but maybe surprisingly hasn't gotten a lot of that. And some of that might be on his own, and some of it might just be the fact that a lot of clubs, they know exactly who they want. They zero in on them very quickly, and they make these hires. But, yeah, I think Eddie Perez brings a lot to the coaching staff. He is a net positive for this organization in a ton of different ways, and that was just a good example that got caught on TV. But I feel like the Braves coaching staff at times, you know, you're going to catch flack when the team's not performing because then it's the coach's fault. When they're all performing, well, the players are out there being stars and doing their thing, and I feel like that may or may not be fair, and that includes the manager. But criticism goes with the job. You know, that's the second guessing obviously comes with the job. And whatever Brian Snitker decides he wants to do, when he walks away from the game of baseball, he has literally and figuratively, from a coaching and managerial standpoint, done it all. And as I said, and will continue to say, he will leave the Braves a better place for having been here over the past five decades.
Mm. Grant, well said. Where can we find From the Diamond this week?
You'll find me on Saturday afternoon. Of course, we're waiting to see what the schedule for the postseason will look like for the Braves beyond that. But the plan is, I believe, about 4 to 6 on Saturday afternoon. And you can also find From the Diamond wherever you get your podcasts and on the Odyssey app.
Appreciate it, Grant.
Bam.
You'll have a great day.
You too. That was our very own Braves reporter and insider and host of From the Diamond, Grant McCauley, joining us here on The Morning Shift. You can follow him on X at Grant McCauley. All right, coming up, we have a mic'd up edition. This hour brought to you by Zero Res, smart, lasting, clean. What you got?
Tiff, it's your favorite day of the week. It's Which One Wednesday. And let me just tease this one. Which event would Bo have a better chance of winning? A race versus Matthew Bergeron or an arm wrestling contest against Drake London? We'll touch on all the hard-hitting topics. That's coming up on the other side. Which One Wednesday? Sports Radio 92 The Game. Oh, you already know it's Which One Wednesday. It's mic'd up. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the morning shift. It's the top of the hour, unlike how we normally do this at 7:40. Nonetheless, it's the same competition that you know and love. It's Which One Wednesday, where I give Tiffany and Bo a situation. They have to pick which side they're on, and then Dylan, debate style, judges their answers and awards a winner at the end of the segment. You guys strapped in and ready. You look locked in and ready to go. I love it. It's beautiful outside. It's a nice fall day, and we're going to start because I've been watching Derrick Henry highlights. Here's the question. You're a coach. You're on the hot seat. Your general manager comes to you and says, we can sign one generational running back. Do you want Adrian Peterson or do you want Derrick Henry? Do you want Adrian Peterson, AP, or do you want Derrick Henry as part of your squad in a must-win season? Tiffany, we'll start with you.
This is hard. I'm going to go on what have you done for me lately. So I guess I will say Derrick Henry. And that is no disrespect to Adrian Peterson, who is obviously a phenomenal running back. But if looking at what Derrick Henry has done as of late, what, he had 199
rushing
yards?
On pace for another 2,000.
And also the fact that like there's just a whole bunch of teams that probably could have had him. Not looking at you, Dallas, but I express interest. So I just think that people
have
counted him out.
We couldn't afford him.
Mm-hmm. We didn't
people
have the money for that.
People have counted him out. And I've always been on the side. And I've said on this show, you just never count Derrick Henry out. He's a beast of a running back. He's like 6'3". And moving the way he does, I don't know. He stays in great shape over the offseason, too, based on the workouts that he shares. So,
what do you think, Bo? Would you rather have, in a do-or-die season, a hot seat season, would you rather have Derrick Henry or Adrian Peterson?
Well, the real answer is Derrick Henry, because I'm a huge Derrick Henry fan. I mean, the man is a beast. He is. I think somebody said it the best. You might have said this to me. If aliens invaded, you'd put him. You'd send him up to. He would be a guy that would go to meet the aliens,
yes,
and be like,
would.
This is man, yeah. And it would be Derrick Henry
so
standing there.
So would prevent them from attacking is what you're saying?
Well, no, you just present. be like, hey, this is the best we have to offer, and it's Derrick mother freaking Henry, and you'd be like, case closed, and the aliens be like, we're good, man. We appreciate y'all. We're going to go invade another life form. You never know that there's people like me there.
You're like, wow, that guy looks like us.
Yeah.
The aliens are
look
like, oh,
at
man.
It.
Oh, that's
I
cool.
mean, oh, I don't want to blank with that.
Yeah.
And then you don't show people like me, yeah. And they leave.
The
you
guy
know?
Looks no
they
fun.
Don't think we're weak.
We're not
going to
pick on that guy.
That's my answer.
All right. How about this side? We're all in the media business now. I'm not asking if you'd rather play. Simply what you'd rather cover, all right, as a media member. Would you rather do Thursday night football or Monday night football? Thursday night, we've obviously had a ton of primetime games here in Atlanta here recently. Would you rather cover Thursday night football or Monday night football? And Bo, we'll start with you.
I'll start this show. Thursday night football. It's easy. So easy of an answer. Because guess what? I'm going to work from Monday to Thursday night. And then I'm going to party Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You got the whole week off. And then, boom, about Monday afternoon, I start locking it back in, start my work week with a little Monday night football, and then I go ham into my research, and then, boom, I'm back at it on a Friday night. Mm. Thursday night football, baby. Right.
What do you think,
well,
Tiff?
Well, you took my answer because it would have been Thursday night football. It still is Thursday night football just for the sheer reason that you can actually enjoy the full weekend. So not just NFL sitting on your couch on Sunday, but you also get college football on Saturday without having to worry about preparing for a game on Sunday.
I'll be honest with you, Tiff. I cannot believe you're not pushing back on him more of him saying, well, I got to focus on that Monday Night Football game all weekend. You ain't focusing on nothing on Friday and Saturday. You're going to do the same things you do on a Thursday night
You don't
game.
Know me.
Yes, I do.
You don't know
yes,
me.
Yes, I do.
I only have like, I have to travel and I have to be confined to hotel room and whatever the New York media market is watching that weekend, college football wise.
All right, let's move on.
You don't know
who needs to have a bigger game tomorrow for the Atlanta Falcons in order for them to win. Who needs to have a bigger game? Is it Drake London or is it AJ Terrell? Bo, we'll start with you. Drake London or AJ Terrell?
Oh boy, AJ, because I need AJ. I think a
you
big
started with him last time.
I think a big
no,
game.
Switch it up.
I think a big game from AJ Terrell is keeping an explosive play from Godwin or Mike Evans. Mike Evans has 11 touchdowns against the Falcons. He has 27 in his career against the NFC South. 22 of them came against the Falcons and the Panthers. That's disturbing in its own right. But Chris Godwin, and I don't think AJ is going to follow, right? Because I think he's going to have Godwin at times and Evans. Chris Godwin has almost 1,000 yards and 9 touchdowns in 13 games against the Falcons. So I need AJ Terrell to be the guy I'm paying him to be. I need the big game to come from him. I can expect other guys in the offense to step up, or maybe the defense will just score touchdowns like we did last week. I don't know. Hmm.
Tiff, what do you think? Who needs to have a bigger game tomorrow
again,
for the Atlanta
I
Falcons?
I co-sign on what Bo said as well. And last year, even though they lost in that last meeting against the Bucs over the season, they did do a good job in containing Mike Evans. So I would say exactly what Bo said, but because he got to go first twice, well, there we go.
All right. Just a riveting answer right there. Let's let's go to how about this? Let's do this one. What of these events would Dylan do better at? All right, Dylan, the guy behind the glass right now, which one of these events would he have a better chance of winning? Chess versus Kirk Cousins? Or boxing versus Bradley Pinion. If Dylan.
Just picture him squaring up.
No, I can go first.
I picture him squaring up with Bradley Pinion right now. It's cracking me up. Does you want to do boxing against Bradley Pinion or chess versus Kirk Cousins? Which one is Dylan going to do better at, the judge of this competition?
Be careful. Be careful. That's all I'll say to both.
Bradley Pinion has some size on him. We emceed a dog fashion show together. So I.
He's a big dude.
Put Dylan up against him boxing. I think you might get tatted up. So I will say chess against Kirk Cousins. And only because I don't want to see you get beat up in the boxing ring.
She said you get
Bradley
squared
Pinion.
Up by BP.
That's what
by
I think.
By a punter, bro. She said you get squared up
I would
by
get
a punter.
Tatted.
What do you?
She didn't. You would.
What do you think, Bo? Who does he have a better chance against? Boxing, Bradley Pinion, or chess versus Kirk Cousins?
Well, I think either one's going to be a long afternoon for Dylan. But I'm going to tell you something. It's going to be a lot better of an afternoon if you get beat in chess by Mr. Coles, Kirk Cousins, because then he'll probably take you for like some Starbucks or something. But Bradley Pinion's going to knock your ass out. I think Bradley Pinion might knock everybody at this radio station out. He is as big of a punter as we clearly have. If our punter had if we had a UFC fight between punters and NFL, ours is coming out the champion.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, because pound for pound, he's a bad mother.
All right, fair enough. How about this one? What's more surprising? What's more surprising in the NFL right now? The 4-0 Vikings or the 0-4 Jags? The 4-0 Vikings? Or the 0-4 Jags, which one is more surprising?
They started the season 8-3 last year before The collapse took place.
Yeah, they were the toast of the town for a little
bit. They were. So that's why it is shocking to see that basically, I think they pretty much have the same team. Has now trotted out here and is 0-4 right. on the
Aside
season.
From Calvin Ridley, yeah.
Yeah, and there's a lot of blame being passed around, it seems there. A little bit of turmoil. So I think that is shocking to go from being near the top. You thought they would recover to now being what they are.
You got it, Bo. Which one's
it's
more shocking?
It's the Vikings. Holy crap. I almost said another bad word. Sam Darnold? You had Sam Darnold coming out and just playing like this. I mean, he's up there looking like Tom Brady or something. You got one of the best pass rush defenses in the league, and they let their pass rusher go, and Danielle Hunter, they go sign Jonathan Grenard, which looked like a cheaper deal, and they are absolutely getting after dudes up there on their front. I am shocked because, honestly, I don't think O'Connell? Is that the coach?
Yeah, Kevin O'Connell.
Yeah, Kevin O'Connell. I don't think anybody ever gave him the credit that he was as good of a coach as he is. He has been phenomenal having his team ready. For me, it's the Vikings all day long. And all right. That's amazing.
Let's go to this one, and I teased it before the break. Which one would Bo have a better shot of winning? Arm wrestling versus Drake London or racing Matthew Bergeron? I'm going to assume that Matthew Bergeron ran a 5.2 or something like that at his pro day. I don't know that Bo can squeeze out a 5.2. Drake London's not throwing up 20 reps
down.
Either.
Matthew, you would.
You think he'd outrun Matthew Bergeron?
No. Sorry, I was saying he would not.
Yeah, I don't think he'd be able to outrun Matthew Bergeron. Arm wrestling versus Drake London is the other option.
There's no way. There really is.
She has no faith in you, bro.
No.
She has no faith in you.
You would lose both. So I can't pay. I abstain from answering this question.
Oh, wow.
Well, like I said earlier, I don't know what hurts me more. The fact that y'all just ignore what I say or you only get upset when each other makes a shot at y'all. I'm just used to the catching the strays from Tiffany.
Are you going for the sympathy vote?
Here's
You've
the deal,
already
man.
Won this thing.
Here's
anyway.
The deal. Foot race all the way because, I mean, big men, sometimes they would trip on their own feet.
He's an offensive lineman. He's light as a feather floating on his feet.
Yeah, when he's going backwards or standing still, but we're going in a foot race.
I got one more. All right, I got one more. Who would be better at writing songs? Would it be Dylan writing country music? Or would it be Bo writing hip hop? Which would have a better song being written?
Dylan
would it be
Zappy.
Dylan writing country music?
Country music.
Or Bo writing hip hop?
Dylan country music. Yeah. I think Dylan would write like sappy country music.
I can get in my feels.
That's what I think you would do.
What do you think?
I think I could win me a Grammy as a country artist.
Dude. I got some thoughts on that, Bo.
Let me.
I wish y'all could see the look on Bo's face.
Let me tell you something. I think Dylan is one of the hardest working, kindest hearted kids that I've worked in this business with.
Called you a kid.
But I'm gonna tell you something. He knows less about the country than he does the streets. I would dominate him because I can tell you I've been in the streets more than Dylan has.
Wow.
It's the pasta ready to blast
this
you.
This is a good time, Dylan, to ask you who won you which really one Wednesday that? Today, Dylan.
Well, despite Bo's absolutely ludicrous answer at the end.
I already said he won. You don't have to announce anything.
Bo is the winner, despite his ludicrous answer at the end.
Really?
He put in a strong performance besides that answer.
He's dominant. Dominant in this segment. Anyway, thanks for playing.
Champ is here.
Okay. All right. Well, when we come back here, Braves are in a critical situation. They lost game one of the wild card series to the Padres. Now they got to get back after it in game two. And a 3-game set that goes down tonight, we'll discuss next on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 99 The Game. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Thursday night football is upon us. But first, tonight, we do have the Braves going back at it against the Padres in game two of the wild card series.
Yeah, we need Max Fried from Friday night against against a playoff team as well. You know, I don't think people really realize that the Royals, when they came in here last weekend, were a playoff team, and all they had to do was win or another team lose for them to clinch. Well, they didn't win Friday night because Maximum Fried, I mean, just went through them. Absolutely. I mean, it was You know, it was like White Castle after drinking night goes through you the next morning. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's the way he went through that lineup. And the they
visuals.
Still clinch.
The visuals in my head right
we
now.
We need that guy. The guy, just like King went through us last night.
I think what you're trying to say is if the Padres don't score, they can't win, right? And that's really got to be the game plan for the Braves tonight.
But here's the reality. If we don't score, we can't win either.
Both things are true.
And so
both things are true.
I thought when I asked Grant about what to do with the lineup, and he said, yeah, I don't really know what you can do. Maybe you switch Soler and Ozzie. I think that's exactly what you do. Because I think Ozzie's a dangerous hitter, and he obviously showed that on Monday afternoon. But the reality is if Michael Harris was to get a leadoff hit like he did last night, then I got to go through Soler, Ozuna, and Olson. Those are three straight. Now, you can say that he still had to do it in some form last night, but it was just reversed. I just think that maybe makes it tricky because Soler has been hitting decent lately. In fact, he hit pretty well.
Yeah.
In that Mets game, that one that you won, he at one point was the only run because he had doubled, and he doubled again later in the game. I would tweak it just a little bit just to see if I get anything different, but Musgrove is a guy that you can hit, you have hit, including this year.
All right. That is tonight, Braves and Padres. Tomorrow, it is Thursday Night Football between the Falcons and the Buccaneers. We talked a lot about a pass rush on this show. How can they affect quarterback Baker Mayfield, who is really good at extending plays with his legs?
I think the first thing is you got to win on first down, and it sounds silly. Why are you talking about first down when that's probably a rundown in a lot of situations? And it's probably 60-40 these days when you say run pass option most teams.
Maybe.
But I think
we're talking about, but yeah.
But you got to, if you win on first down, and what I mean by win on first down is keep, you know, three or less. I think you can. You're good because now you're going to kind of put them where they want to throw the ball, but you just can't give up big plays and anything over 4 yards to an offense on first down because then it makes it so much harder for you to stop a conversion with the way everything is, especially the way you're playing off of guys. To me, Mike, that's the first thing. Can you get them in second and third in long situations where you can maybe dial something up or you can almost afford to play a little bit tighter.
Yeah. And look, man, I'll be honest with you. If I'm game planning the Buccaneers after watching what last week was, and I know how bad we've struggled on the pass rush and everything else, I'm almost calling a spade and saying, I'll just drop eight. You know what I mean? Like, I'll just drop eight in the covers. I think you kind of do the opposite, and I think you kind of alluded to this earlier. I think you'd be better off running some run blitzes on maybe first down and then dropping eight in the coverage on third if you can get them in that situation because they're getting it out so fast, and they kind of run the empty sets, and they run the quick throws, a lot of screens in the flat and everything else, getting linemen out in front, other people blocking. They do such a good job of just getting out of his hands that I don't know that you even want to waste your time trying to say, well, we got an edge rush. I don't think you'll get home, man. I really don't. And so I think it's going to be a lot of frustration for that unit up front if and when you get to third and seven and you don't get home because he's getting it out so freaking fast.
Why don't we run some more twists or stunts or something? I haven't seen a ton. I know we've some here, but I feel like last year we did a lot of that, and it helped some with the pass rush. Can we do some of that stuff up front and kind of give them something to get confused on and maybe miss an assignment on?
We've seen a fair amount. It hasn't been a ton, and a lot of it has involved Caden Ellis, the linebacker core, and other people beginning to do some things. Then also last week you started to see them kind of bringing in secondary blitzes. We mentioned how big the sack was from D. Alford. And so I think that's going to be a big component moving forward. But like I said, I think you just have to pick your spots. I think situationally you have to be careful with what you're doing down in and down out because I think that me and you have talked about kind of Philadelphia's effort that Sunday day game, they're in the sun. I think a lot of it had to do up front with the fact that they're just not getting home. It almost feels like if you give effort in the first 2 seconds of a play and you're one of those defensive linemen, it feels like you're wasting your time. It feels like you're wasting your effort. Then all of a sudden you get hit in the mouth and you're like, man, I didn't expect that. It's because they've lulled you to sleep by saying you can't rush the passer and getting the ball out right now.
So you look at this matchup then. If they win this, then the following week you got the Panthers, right? So they could potentially be 3-0 in Division South play. Really, how big would a win be tomorrow night?
Well, it's huge because, look, New Orleans was coming in. They were 2-1 coming in. You knocked them to 2-2. You got a division win over them. Now you're at the same record with them, but they got the same. But you got a division win. You beat Tampa Bay on Thursday night, and now you're at 3-2, where they'd be 3-2. You have a game in hand over them, and you'd be 2-0 in the division. It's everything. Look, you get two wins every time you beat your opponent. You're a division opponent in my eyes. Maybe you look at it, but you not only do you get a division win, but you get a win over them. And if you if you finish with the same record as Tampa Bay and you won the season series, boom. Or if you finish with the same record as Tampa Bay, but you have a better division record, hey, there you go. You've got the tiebreaker. So these division wins are important. You have to win games in conference and in division. Those are the ones that count the most when you're trying to get a playoff spot if you have tiebreakers that come into play. But more importantly, you're beating a rival and you're beating a team you're going head-to-head with.
Well, let me underline the importance of that, too, because you have a tough game against a good Tampa Bay team. Let's just say on the flip side, if you don't win it, Carolina's playing Chicago this week. Now, it's at Soldier Field. It's up in Chicago, but it's going to be an early game. That's a winnable game for Carolina, and I think that people kind of lose sight of that. This is not Bryce Young's Carolina team, right? This is Andy Dalton's Carolina team right now, and they're a lot better off than they were with Bryce Young at the helm. So just look at the fact that you could see Carolina maybe creep to 2-3. If you slide to 2-3, then all of a sudden you're playing them the next week. You don't want that scenario either. So I think you have to kind of underline, you know, the importance of this game. It's a Thursday night. You ought to, you know, you're both coming off short weeks, but I don't think anybody will have a problem finding the energy in terms of hitting the field tomorrow night. And hopefully the Falcons can go out and put their best foot forward and show some kind of offensive identity the way you have not really through most of the season so far.
Yeah, I think a fast start is crucial. You know, you didn't get off to a fast start last week against New Orleans. I didn't feel like, you took that first drive, then you stalled. You did get the touchdown, but offensively, you didn't get a fast start. Defensively, you allowed them to go down the field twice in the first two drives and put 14 points on the board. You know, you're going to come in here banged up a little bit because you're tired. It's a short week, but so are they. They are too, and they are going to do everything they can to try to get neutralize you. You are one of the better teams on first and second down at getting first downs, but you're also the worst team. You are, hold on, wait for it. Oh, yeah, you're 29th on third down conversions. That is brutal. You have to keep drives going. You have to get in a rhythm and possess the ball because a short week, your defense is already going to be a little tired after a long week last week when they're on the field for so long. Again, help them out.
And I met the president again.
Again.
When we come back, we'll find out what's coming up on the steakhouse with Steak and his steak tips. Stay with us here on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are back here on the morning shift. You finished your Lunchable? Was it everything you'd hoped and dreamed it would be?
It was. It charged me up. I even told the Lunchables people on the Twitter about it. I said, hey, man, that Lunchables was good.
I'm trying to get free Lunchables.
Tiff, can I tell this story real quick before we get to steak
tips? You can do
whatever
you want.
Okay. Then that's exactly what I'll do. So there is a certain situation in a male bathroom where two guys stand next to each other at a urinal. Sometimes the conversation's good. Sometimes you just don't talk. I walked in there a minute ago. Bo's next to me, and he goes, man, really worried about this situation down at the ports. And I was like, what are you talking about?
You haven't heard about this?
I understand. I'm probably the least plugged in as far as, like, news of anybody, in this building. But I was like, what? It's just the most random thought as Bo's kind of looking up at the wall and the ceiling of like, what is this guy talking about right now?
Well, this stuff with the ILA is serious. I mean, we're not going to have any of our products at all if these guys aren't working and unloading the ships at the docks and the ports. Steak will tell you all about it. Steak's a businessman. He knows he won't have his cheeseburger Instagram videos anymore if he don't have the burgers to do it or the cheese or whatever he needs.
I think the burgers will be in better shape than, say, you know, stereo equipment.
Right, the
know?
TVs.
Right, yes. I think we'll still be able to get ground beef.
let's get to some steak tips.
Depends on what you get beef from.
Wow, exciting.
Good morning.
Stuff. Good morning. Great to see everybody.
You usually lead with good morning. I tried to meet you in the middle right there. But, you know.
I love it when you meet me in the middle.
Yeah, you like that?
Somebody should write a song.
You like that? Reaching across the aisle?
Yeah. Stuck in the middle. Anyways, so big Falcon game tomorrow night. We're five games in once the Falcons and Bucks play, which is, in the old days, about a third of the way through the season. Mm. We spend How much time do we spend at training camp and then waiting for the season after that interminable stretch when the last preseason game and you wait like 12 days to start playing games? But I would argue all of training camp. Like, there's nothing I like less than trying to figure out when you're sitting at training camp how a season's going to go. Because every season in sports, in the NFL or a team itself, gives you storylines that nobody saw coming, right?
The more and more I visit training camps, and I've said I've been a part of a few of them, yes. The more I realize I have no idea what the season's going to look like.
Same thing at spring training. I've been to so many spring trainings. Everything else. So my point is the NFL gives you storylines. Some of them aren't complicated. The Chiefs will be good. Pat Mahomes may not play well, but they'll find a way to win. The 49ers are the best talent in the NFL. That's all gone according to plan. But it's the reality show that is the NFL. So I have five or six of the stories that nobody saw coming as we talk about all the things we talked about for those 6 weeks. None of them were these topics. Right at the top being that the Minnesota Vikings would get rid of Kirk Cousins and realize they're in better shape than they've ever been. The Sam Darnold story and the Vikings are just something special.
Yeah, to see him be able to kind of resurrect his career after being a top draft pick.
Yeah, bounced around.
Yeah.
Who was it? Belichick said the only team that didn't like the Jets, that didn't like Sam Darnold, was the Jets. Did you hear that? Everybody else kind of always liked his talent. Listen, he's got 11 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. There's nothing fluky. If you watch them in the first half against Green Bay, they were was it Green Bay? They were blowing them out.
Yeah. They were up 28-0, I think.
I mean, just a well-run organization, top to bottom, that absolutely nothing fluky about it. No, Steelers will have to see. They are a surprise for sure in that division. And I'm not so sure how real it is. If you watch the Vikings' scores and opponents, that's real. First time you saw it was week 2 when the 49ers came in. Vikings were a 5-point underdog. They blew out the 49ers. Then they go on the road to Green Bay. The Steelers, let's see what they do against Dallas this week.
Well,
Justin Fields still a story, but Sam Darnold, the Vikings, bigger story.
Yeah, the Steelers' story is their defense, okay? The Steelers will go as far as their defense goes. They have a top-5 defense. They have the best pass rush in the NFL right now. He led the league last year in sacks. They will go as far as their defense as long as they don't make mistakes on offense and they protect the ball.
Yeah, but I mean, remember how he sat there and said the Falcons can't lose to the Pittsburgh Steelers, which was kind of we weren't dumb enough to say that. I think by the time game time, we realized their defense was so good we could lose that game. But nobody thought Justin Fields would be the starting quarterback and have the record he has. But the Vikings are at the top of the strong. I'll put, Jaden Daniels, obviously, in the Commanders, that this quickly he would be the. I mean, maybe that's everybody knew he was an electrifying player, but to see him play at this level this quick and the accuracy. I mean, what fan base is more excited to have lost their owner and lost their previous quarterbacks and know we're going to be watching this? It's like being in Atlanta when Mike Vick showed up.
What a new chapter for them. And look, it goes back to all the way when we're doing draft prep and Rusty's on your show and he's going, I will help this man move. If we can get Jaden Daniels, I will help this
Are
man move.
Are you the one
here.
That said when Tom – you were going to talk about Thomas Dimitroff when he was here live?
Yes.
And he said, what should the Falcons – we're talking about the Falcons. He goes, I would do everything possible to trade up for Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
It's like, we already have a quarterback. It's like – I don't care.
That guy
is a generational player. That's what he said.
I love all the comments that even during the draft and even now you hear from other teams like, oh, it's a good college offense. I don't care what it is. They freaking score.
Yeah, so they're a great story. I'll stay on the positive side that Josh Allen and the Bills, look at that division, right? You talk about a moribund division. Patriots are the worst team in football.
Yep.
Miami's going absolutely nowhere. My condolences to anyone who has Tyreek Hill like myself in fantasy. That's a disaster.
Hey, I appreciate it. So, you know that what happened last week has got me and Micah fantasy.
We got
winning.
Us a 1-point win.
Yeah.
On Monday night.
And then the Jets. That's a story. They're a completely ordinary football team. Garrett Wilson having an awful year. Aaron Rodgers. Okay. I mean, so Buffalo by far the class of the division, and Josh Allen could care less about Stephon Diggs being there. Balling out. Everyone thought this division's a 3-tier race. Tua, Aaron, Josh Allen, not even close to the case. I'll put Aaron Rodgers. I'll put the other story that Kirk Cousins would be this. I'm not going to say bad, but 4 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. the worst statistics of his career since his second year in the league, and that the Falcons would have the 29th offense in the NFL scoring touchdowns. Is that not a storyline nobody predicted?
Yeah, I mean, nobody predicted that or how bad they'd be on third down conversions. No, I mean, no one.
I mean, Kirk Cousins, he's got 4 touchdowns and 4 picks. It's not like he's a running quarterback, right? You have that if you're Justin Fields or Jaden Daniels. But, like, that's, again, you sit there, you go, oh, there's Drake, there's Kyle, there's Bijan, and the NFL takes on its own personality. So quarterbacks are always a story in the league. The ordinary Aaron Rodgers and Kirk Cousins, I don't think people saw coming as well. And on the upside, you know, when quarterbacks emerge, it's great. And Baker Mayfield's in that class as well. Although they're a playoff team last year, and they won a playoff game last year. So,
and I like what they're doing with him. Like, he got completely hammered against Denver. I think they got him like 7 or 8 times. What they do last week, good defensive front. They just got the ball out so quickly. Mike and I watched it. And he looked like a shortstop.
And Detroit being the best team in the NFL,
dude,
maybe.
How
right
about
now.
That game last week with Jared Goff going perfect?
18 of 8.
And then Dan Campbell saying, I didn't even give him the game ball. Yeah, give it to J-Mo.
He says, I gave it to the
guy. Well, you know what? You know a guy's played well for an entire year when he can't get a game ball at 18 for 18 because he's probably gotten a bunch of them, right?
Yeah. That's a good point. That's a great point.
He's been so solid for so long. Yeah. Anyways, Sandy in the house. Lots on the Braves, obviously, and everything else happening on the Steakhouse.
There you go.
All right, you got us covered. That's it for us here in the Morning Shift. Steakhouse is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.